I thank all y'all for praying for my dad. Last week I was not here. My dad, he has had cancer for about 18 years. And 11, 12 years ago or so is when I found, when the kids found out he had had it for several years. My mother said, she called us because he had 11 tumors on his lungs. And so she said, we finally got to tell the kids. And they went in and tried to biopsy the tumors and they were all gone. And the guy said, you must be a religious man. This was 11 years ago. And then last year, he had tumors on his lungs, his bones, and a blood clot in his lung. And they said, you know, you need to get your will together. You're going to die. And that went away. And so two weeks ago, he was sick again. And they said, get hospice. And so that's why I left last week to go, we thought, to see, you know, the beginning of the end. And then Wednesday, we got a report that it was all gone again. And so, amen. So he's told, you know, you're living on borrowed time, and someone must be looking out for you. And I said, I know who that is. And so I'm like, Dad, you know, if you're going to die, keep going. You're going to die. You're not going to die. You're going to let it, he's driving us crazy. So, But it was a very draining week. I was there for five or six days, and it was very draining emotionally. So I appreciate you praying. I want to encourage you. You have something going on in your life. Please pray. Prayer is not going to guarantee you get what you want. It will assure you to get what God wants, and God will get you through. We're all going to die at some point. We know it's going to happen. But the only chance of miracles is you got to get on your knees and pray and ask people to pray. So, you know, I know we announced it at church last week, and I was Twittering, and people were tweeting about praying, so I appreciate it. My mother appreciates it. My mother's been a beast of taking care of her husband, day and night. She's an amazing mom, and she fell out. My sister and brother went down there, and we literally, a week ago last night, I got there, so last Sunday, he couldn't even walk to the bathroom. We had to almost carry him. And today he was driving. So it's amazing. So we appreciate you praying. There is a conference called Pro Athletes Outreach, PAO. And I went to my first PAO conference in 1984 when I was still playing with the Chargers. They have a football conference, they have a baseball conference, and different sports. And now I go and speak at the conferences. And 2 or 3 years ago, I was speaking at a PAO in Orlando, and there was a comedian named Michael Jr. there who spoke. Now, I don't know that I remember them having a comedian there. It's a very tough crowd. There were about 200 NFL players and girlfriends and wives, so about 400-something people. And so I was like, okay, let's see if this brother's going to be funny, because, you know, I'm a hard dude on comedians because I'm a funny brother myself. So I was like, you know, let's see if this brother can make me laugh. And I won't even tell you if it's funny or not, but obviously if he's here, I wouldn't have him here if he wasn't funny, but I want you to give a warm welcome. Oh, by the way, he's going to come and share his gift with us for a few minutes, and then we're going to get into the lesson together. So give a warm welcome to Michael Jr.
All right. This is awesome. I love Miles bringing me up after sad stories. But actually a pretty phenomenal story. That's awesome. It's good. My name is Michael Jr. I'm going to do some jokes. That's what I do. I get to travel the whole world doing comedy. It's so cool, man. Well, the country, really, not the world. It's the country. The West Coast, really, like the West Coast. Like San Diego area, San Diego. Just this church. This is the first time. I just met Miles 2 weeks ago, man. It's going to be fun. It's the amazing part for me. I get to do comedy all over. I hit all the clubs. I perform in Vegas, which is fun. And I perform at churches. How does that work out? I don't know. But it's fun because for me, when I was a kid, laughing at church was illegal. You couldn't laugh at church. And I was like, I remember one time laughing, right? This lady was jumping around and her wig fell off. That stuff was funny, right? I laughed, my grandmother would pinch and twist. I can understand a pinch. You're going to twist? That's the devil. I didn't say that out loud, but that's what I was thinking. I'm 7 years old. Nobody's teaching at this church, and church lasts like 6 hours. Then we eat a sandwich and go down to the basement and have a sandwich, and we come back up. I'm like, what was that, halftime or something? This stuff was miserable. This dude is up on stage, and he's not teaching. Pastor Mike, y'all blessed, because this dude teaches. I watch him online all the time. Like, he teaches. The pastor I had, he didn't teach. He was just mad at everybody. He was mad, I figured it out. He was mad because he had some phlegm caught in his throat, because at the end of every sentence, he tried to get it out. He'd be like, the Lord said, ha! Act like you're, ha! I'm like, that dude need to gargle, Grandma. Dude wasn't teaching, he all mad. And one time, I go to church, there's a dead body in the front. Nobody explained to a 7-year-old Michael Jr., it's a funeral. I'm thinking, yo, that's how they roll. Like every third Sunday or so, they bring a dead body in as an example or something. Like, what kind of illustration is this? The dude on stage would yell at everybody like, we did it. And the only thing I understood from his explanation was he went to see the king. He went to see the king. Then they called a kids choir up to sing. I was in the kids choir. Not because I could sing. I was in the kids choir because I was a kid. That's the only requirement. And what song we had to sing? Soon and very soon. We are gonna see the king. I don't wanna see the king. I don't wanna see the king. That's what happened to the man in the box. The king is mean. That stuff made zero sense to me. You ever go to a funeral? You ever go to a funeral and they talking about the person in the box? Like they went to heaven? And you look around like, wait, this is the right funeral? Last time I seen this dude, he had never prayed, and he just stabbed 6 people. I'm not sure. Then they always get up there, and they say something, but I always get up there. I'm sure Uncle John is looking down at me right now with a little tear in his eye. Yeah, Uncle John, he's looking up at you. That's what he's doing. That's a sweat bead. That's a sweat bead what it is. So now to be able to, now there's some really cool pastors and ministers out there. Segway. I was at the mall the other day. This dude had on a shirt that said, if you don't speak English, lead a country. Right? But it was written in English. So. So I walked up to him and I said, you're dumb. But I said it in Spanish. Yeah, so he would. You ever see the ladies sometime at the mall? You wearing the skinny jeans? Skinny jeans. Read the instructions. Supposed to be skinny. Yeah. Yeah. Skinny jeans. They're not muffin top jeans. They're skinny jeans. You say that at church? You say that at church? Fellas, we're not any better. We're not any better. You ever see a dude? He got on like a muscle shirt, but he don't got no muscles. You're like, what is that, a wife threatener? You can't laugh and shake your head. I love hanging around really strong pastors who really bring it. I got a chance to have dinner with T.D. Jakes. The dude brings the heat as well. And I'm at dinner with him. He said two things that were so powerful. Two things specifically that just were so powerful. He said, Michael, one thing you want to do in life is you want to study the art of listening. I was like, man, that is deep, right? I wish I remember what else he said, but that first one was deep, dude. And then hanging out with Miles is just like so cool. We get along like two people to get along. I can't really explain it, but it's like a really cool cat. And I know that Miles is in purpose. Like when he's standing here, like this dude is doing what he's supposed to do. Because I watch on a regular basis with my whole family. I got 5 kids, right? And I travel a lot, you know, so I can see them all. It's comedy. Calm down. It's comedy. My kids are here with me, actually. One's in college. Anyway. So I know he's in purpose doing what he's supposed to do. Because could you imagine him doing something else? Like, he couldn't be like a drug dealer. Like, what if he was a head drug dealer and he was the same traits show up, the same Miles traits show up? He'd be like, hey, fellas, bring it in, bring it in. Hold up your baggies. Hold up your baggies. Let me hear you say herb. Yo, I'm Michael Jr. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me hear you say herb. Nah, that was hot. What are you talking about? Touching my stuff, man. See, they all herb because I heard somebody was.
This is the weed smoking service.
I heard somebody was smoking some herb.
No.
See, you don't even judge it.
No. Do y'all don't remember the person who smoked weed at church? That's what I meant. I didn't mean that y'all smoke weed. But I bet you if I asked someone to raise a hand, they smoke weed, there'd be a few hands up in here. Oh, I'm sorry.
What are you looking at me for?
I noticed how you got that laugh. That's a weed sound.
It is?
Yeah, when you see, I smoke weed. All the people laughing?
Yeah, they know. No, I've been around. I know. I've been around them people before. I know. A little stuff fly out when they do it. I know. I've been
around.
No,
nothing flies out.
I know they hold it in, but if it's passed, something will come out of there. I don't want to get graphic, but I'm just saying that'll happen. I don't smoke. I love Jesus, so I'm just going to point that out. Seem like you would be saying something right now. You just.
I think if I wait long enough, you'll say something. Let's see your Bibles.
Victory is mine. That is powerful. You don't understand how many churches, how many pastors wouldn't be able to just be quiet like that. Like, he was cool with the silence. That was pretty hot. It was. Show him your Bible. No, go ahead. Do the thing.
You got yours?
Yeah, I got it right. Come on. Judging people. Always got a Bible.
I'm not judging you. I don't see the Bible. Let's see your Bible tonight.
Word.
One more time.
Word.
There's some people out there.
He was looking for the W.
Some people in there going herb.
Yeah.
Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're trying to figure out how we would use Mr. Michael Jr. today. You know, because we didn't want to have a whole 45 minutes of comedy, even though that would be pretty cool. We got to bring you back for that.
Yeah, we should do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be hot. Kind of.
But God has given him a talent of humor. As a matter of fact, when we met, we were debating on who, well, we weren't debating, we were having a discussion on who is funnier. And I give it up. He's funnier.
Did you wink your eye? Don't the Bible say something about that?
Oh,
okay, cool. I was about to pull out a verse. I don't know where it's at.
What verse is that?
The Bible do say something about winking.
What does it say?
Dude, you're the pastor. Don't it say something about winking in the Bible? It said don't trust light-skinned people that wink or something. I don't know what it say, but it say something like that, right? It does. Somebody
know. Why don't you be
light-skinned? Oh, you got extra parents. They online watching, hey, why is he light-skinned? I don't know. No, light is cool. It used to be in style, remember? Back in the day, you had Al B. Shore. That was like, that was y'all leader. That was the leader. Al B. Shore? That was the leader. That was a dude.
What's it now?
What was that song?
What's it now?
I'm not sure. I'm married. What are you talking about? I don't know what's in. But I'm just saying, light skinned dudes used to be, they would want. Light skin, your hair all good. Yeah, you was the man. You was the man. Come on, focus. Open the Bible.
Every single person has an ability. Every single one of y'all have a talent. His talent is comedy, and you have natural abilities and natural talents. And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit then works through your talent. And every single one of you in the body of Christ, you are a specific part. You're an eye, metaphorically, a mouth, a hands, a feet. And in order for you to be used by God the way he created you to be used, you have to know what your part is and allow God to minister through you. Amen? And so I want to read this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. It's for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body. Is it therefore not part of the body? Of course not, it is. Verse 16, if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body. Is it therefore not part of the body? Of course it is. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as he pleased. Every single one of you is a part of the body of Christ if you've asked Christ to be your Savior. And because you're part of the body, you need to function to fulfill your role so the whole body works together. And if you're an eye, a lot of times people are eye and they're jealous of the ear because they want to hear stuff. They're a mouth, but they're jealous of the nose because they want to smell stuff. In other words, you're not satisfied with what you are, mostly because you don't know what you are. And you're not functioning in the way you are. Matter of fact, if you're faithful in the little things, being used the way God created you, you're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. You will never enter into the joy of the Lord any other way. And so Michael's gift is comedy, but it's not necessarily a spiritual gift because anybody can be funny who's not saved. But when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and the Holy Spirit wants to use the talent he's given you to minister to other people. So today we want to encourage you in your gift as we see him use his and talk about his, but encourage you to use your gift to find yours out. Matter of fact, if you want to take a spiritual gifts test to find out what your spiritual gift is, you can go to our website. They're going to put the website up on the screen. You can just go to sdrock.com/giftstest, and you can find out what your spiritual gift is today. You write that down. If you haven't found it out, take a five-minute test online and find out what your gift is, and God can show you what you need to be doing. So the first question to you is...
That's good stuff, too.
I appreciate it.
Like, it's almost like it's something new every service in there.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate it.
You thought I was joking. You look at me like you're playing around. No, that's good stuff. Like, that's good. You got a question or something?
Tell us about how you, now looking back, how you developed your funny.
So I used to just think I was just funny because, I'm funny. I used to think that, right? But looking back, I always had a talent to make people laugh because I always wanted people around me to be comfortable. That was a big thing. I always wanted people. We didn't have a lot of money. We couldn't afford a lot of stuff, so I would always entertain. But looking back, that muscle really got stronger. From what I thought was a handicap. I had a really hard time as a child reading, like a really hard time. I'd read really well now, but as a child, it was a struggle, almost to the point where I would say in junior high or so, I probably really couldn't even read without the aid. So I created this ability. I created this thing that I would do where I would look at a word seven different ways. So if I saw a word on a wall or in a book and I didn't know what it was, I came up with seven different ways to look at it to determine what the word would be. So I'd look at the font size, the color of the word, the positioning of it, the word in front of it or behind it. I came up with seven different ways, and it made me stronger, made me at least appear as if I could read. I was actually reading the word because I was figuring it out. But then in high school, it got even better because instead of just looking at a word seven different ways, I'd look at a situation seven different ways as well. And I'd be able to see it for what it is, but also at least seven different possibilities. So in retrospect, now being a Christian and flat out loving God, I can clearly see how the devil really had a plan to use that for low self-esteem and no telling what comes out of low self-esteem. But God has flipped it and turned it to good because that's really the primary tool I use to develop comedy. You look at something one way, I get to see it seven different ways, and a lot of times some of that stuff is funny, and it'll happen like almost immediately. It's like mad quick math that I don't even have to try to do at this point. Good eye.
Number one in your notes, number one, that God sometimes is going to use your weakness to redirect you to your strength. God sometimes is going to use your weakness to redirect you to your strength. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The devil will have you focused and beat yourself up and make you feel small, make you feel insignificant because of your weaknesses. But in the sense that God is going to use your weakness to redirect you to what you're strong, and God is going to use your weakness to empower you. The devil's always going to do the opposite of what God's going to do. And look what it says in verse 9, chapter 12. Paul is asking God to remove pain from his life. And it says, verse 9, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Now, in your notes, I want you to notice in your notes where it says, right underneath point one, it says, list your three weaknesses. I want to encourage you to identify three of your weaknesses, because if you have a weakness, some of y'all have a weakness in numbers, and you have a job where you have to do numbers. Some of you have a weakness in administration and organization, and you have a job where a lot of what you do is organizing, and you're no good at it. Some of you have a weakness in communicating to people, and you're a salesperson, and you're no good at it. Now, you may figure it out, you may struggle, but every day you fake it. You blame other people, your boss is on you, and you're saying, "But I'm doing good," because you want to defend yourself, and you're flat out in the wrong job. You're taking the wrong major at school. You're dating the wrong person. You like someone who's neat, and you're dating a slob. And you can't figure it out. You know why? You're in your weakness. You're an eye trying to be an ear. You need to stop. And you need to say, "Wait a minute, Lord, how have you made me? If you made me an eye, I need to go see. If you made me an ear, I need to go hear. And I don't need... Let me give you permission. You don't need to make yourself do good at what you're not good at. Don't do it. Or do it very little and get other people to do it better." And so my encouragement to you is find out what your gift is. Find out what your weaknesses are and say, "Okay, I'm not going to do any of that. At least that's not going to be the main majority of my time. I'm going to spend my focus on doing what I'm good at." Amen? Amen. So you're funny.
Thank you. Thanks, man. No, I mean, I didn't know what to say to that. You just looked at me like, "Okay, let's try it. You're a good pastor." Like, you don't know what to say. You're like, "Okay, thanks.
You're really funny.
You're a very good pastor. Like, you're powerful. Like, you bring it, for real.
Like, you are the most funniest dude I ever seen in my life."
Yeah. Thanks, man.
So there was a time in your life when you saw your comedy became more of a ministry. God showed you, "Here's how I want you to view it. Why don't you tell us about that?" Because people have gifts, and they have to know how to use it.
Yeah,
that's more biblical.
That's true. I just want a little awkward silence again. It was fun.
I'm not awkward with silence.
So it's true. Like the Bible says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's God's purpose shall prevail. I just was funny. It was cool being funny. I was clean. And I knew God and all of that stuff. I've been on all of the late night shows and Jay Leno's and all that good stuff. But something was missing. Like, it just felt a little. But I didn't know something was missing. I was cool with doing all the shows, and I'm still cool with doing them. One day I was doing a show at a club, and in an instant, God changed my mindset about comedy. I had a change in mindset. I think a mindset is like a fixed mental attitude that predetermines a person's response or interpretation to a situation. So I had a change in mindset about comedy. Most of the time when a comedian gets on stage, he wants to get what? Wants to get laughs. God said, "No, don't go up there to get laughs from people. Go up there to give them an opportunity to laugh." And it changed the whole game. Like, it changed everything. Because now I'm not looking to take. I'm looking for an opportunity to give. Like, it was really a big difference in that. At least I understood it to be. So I go on stage, I do my show. We have a great time. I lead a club that night. There's people outside. They're buying all my stuff. We're laughing. They're autographs. They're telling me their favorite jokes. And then while I'm talking to the people, I look across the street and I saw a homeless guy. I had never seen a homeless guy outside this club before, ever. And I've been there many a times before. But that doesn't mean he wasn't there before. That just means before, my mindset was to get laughs from people, so why would I even notice this homeless guy? So then I noticed him, and I was like, man, what about him? How could I give him an opportunity to laugh? Then I asked God, and God was like, you really want to know? And I was like, nope. You know it's going to be an assignment or something. But then I said yes, and we followed through with it, and it did this comedy tour called Comedy the Road Less Traveled, and it's pretty powerful stuff.
It was all about taking the gift, and this is the takeaway for you. It's all about taking your gift, and your gift doesn't belong to you. So if God made you an eye, an ear, if God gave you the ability to teach, encourage, listen, it's not for you. It's for the other person. I'm already saved, so my gift of evangelism is not for me. I'm already saved. It's for the people who's not saved. And so what you have to do is say, Lord, how do you want me to use this? Matter of fact, turn to Romans. You're in 2 Corinthians, two books before Romans chapter 12. You have to say, Lord, how do you want me to use my gift to serve other people? The Bible says in Acts 1:8 that we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, and we shall be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the earth. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so you can have power not to do what you want. I'm going to give you power to do what I want you to do, Jesus said. It's not about you. Say it ain't about me. One more time, say it ain't about me. So you have all these people out there in your world that are waiting for you to exercise your gift to serve them, not to get your agenda fulfilled, to serve them. Look what it says in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, which means set aside for one purpose, acceptable to God, which means give God your best. And that's your reasonable service. In other words, God deserves you to do that. But then it says in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. Don't try to be like everybody else. Don't try to think like the world thinks. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants to renew your mind. Then it says, then you will know the perfect will of God. In other words, God, I have this talent. I have this ability. Don't you want me to just go shove it in people's face? He says, nope. I want you to walk by faith, and I want you to serve people with it. And I don't want you to force people. I want you, when you exercise your gift, I want people to feel like they're loved, like it was for them. That's the tool you are in the kingdom of God, that he wants to use you like that. Look at your notes. Did I give you the second one? No, I did not. Put it up on the screen, please, and I'll read it from the screen. Next one, I want you to pray to God to give you a God's perspective on how to use your gifts he has given you. Some of y'all, how many of y'all like to teach? I bet you all of y'all are going to teach differently based on how God taught you to teach. Who he's going to teach you to teach, how you're going to teach, when you're going to teach. God, show me how you want me to use my gift. You do not want to walk through life just doing your job and going about your business. You want God to be able to use you like a surgeon uses a scalpel. Number 3, you've been on Jay Leno. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've been on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yep, the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You've been on the show.
Yeah, I've been on their shows. Yep.
Comedy Central.
True. I was on BET. One pastor introduced me. He was like, this next guy's been on Bet Television.
Bet.
He's hysterical. He said, Bet TV. I was like, dude. He didn't. It was one black person in the whole church. It was me. I was like, hey, what's up, man? He didn't know. It was a mirror. I was like, that's a mirror. I know me. Yeah.
What was the toughest?
Toughest audience. I'm going to give you a couple examples real fast, though.
I only need one. Oh, you go ahead. Give two.
No. Pick one. Which one you want? Okay, then. Well, you won't even know. It'll be seamless. So, after we left the club that night and God said, gave me this assignment, you're distracting the people. I'm talking and you're shaking. They like, this is fun. So after we leave the club, I go outside and I see the homeless guy, and then God challenges me to do this tour, Comedy the Road Less Traveled. We filmed the whole thing. We made this movie. And one of the places we went to was Fort Worth, Texas, a place called the Samaritan House. Everyone is homeless and they have HIV. Brought them together, did a comedy show. That was tough. But then we went to Montrose, Colorado, a place called the Dolphin House. The Dauphin House takes care of children who are being abused by their parents who are on drugs. And his grandmother tells me the story of her grandson, who's so afraid of his mom, everywhere he goes, he wears a Spider-Man costume, a full mask and everything. One of the things his mom has been doing to him is she's been pulling out his toenails. And she tells me the story of her son. I have to hear his story. Then I hear all these other kids' stories because I directed the film. And then they bring all the kids in the room at the same time with their caregivers. And now I got to do jokes for them. Listen, if my mindset was to get laughs from people, I wouldn't have been able to do the show. But my mindset had been changed to giving people an opportunity to laugh, so I had to do the show. So I go up on stage, I start doing comedy. People slowly and surely start laughing. Sitting right up front, Spider-Man, full costume, clenching his grandmother with his back to me. Like 30 minutes into it, I hear a voice come from right here, and the voice says, "My name is Ronan." This little boy pulls off his mask and introduces himself to me. And he starts talking to me for like 9 minutes like I'm not doing a comedy show. So it was a whole transformation that took place. But the hardest show, yet one of the greatest shows at the same time, was when I went to this prison in the state of Washington, and I was scared. Like, I'm scared for, I don't mind telling you now, because I got out. But I was scared for real. As soon as I walk in, the warden takes my belt from me. Says, "You can't have a belt. Somebody might try to hang you." I'm like, "Can't they just boo me or something? Why they gotta hang me?" I'm in prison, my pants loose. That's a bad idea, man. It's a bad, well, I got 7 different ways to look at this, man. That's hilarious. Black people always got a stump or something, don't they? It's funny, because you just stump with 1 foot. This is light skin, that's why it's just 1 foot. Like, all right, focus, man, focus. So I'm walking into this prison, and I'm scared.
Jealousy is tough, ain't it?
It is. It I know, is. You
just
know
gets
for sure.
Under your skin, man.
You know for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You said it gets under your skin. I had another different way of saying the joke after that one, but I don't know. Anyway, so I'm walking into the prison, and I'm scared. And I need a joke immediately. I need to be fun. They need to like me immediately, but not too much. Right? So there's a delicate line in there. I'm walking, I'm scared. The bars are opening in front of me. They're closing behind me. They're opening in front of me. They're closing behind me. I need to be funny immediately, and I'm getting nothing. I walk in, there's no stage. They're just right there. They're like 4 feet away from me. There's no glass. We're not doing comedy on the phone. I got nothing. I'm doing a map. I had a joke pop up. I was scared to say it. I was going to say, "You know, you guys are a captive audience. I just want to say that, you know?" But I didn't feel like it was the time for that one. So I walk in. I'm scared. I got nothing. I remember putting my right foot down. I had nothing because this is right where I'm supposed to be. I put my left foot down. I settle in. I look. Sitting right up front is a white dude with a white beard named Moses. And it was pretty, and I was like, "Thanks, Lord. I appreciate this." So I looked at Moses, and when I said these words, the place exploded in laughter. We had an amazing time. I said, "Moses, this is what I want you to do. When you see the prison warden, I want you to look him right in the eye. Look him right in the eye, and I want you to say, 'Let my people go.'" For real. That's what happened for real. This is what you gotta understand, though. I didn't know what I was gonna say or what I was gonna do until I got my feet where they needed to be. I didn't know. But once I got there, God was like, "I got you."
Number 3 in your notes. Number 3. Walking by faith means acting before knowing sometimes. When the Jews were going into the promised land, they were standing before the River Jordan. Joshua was gonna lead them across. And when they came across the Red Sea, Moses lifted up the staff and the water parted. God told Joshua, "It ain't going to happen that way this time. You got to step your foot in the water first." And if God is going to use the gifts he's given you, it's always going to be by faith. There will always, 100% of the time, be an unknownness to God using you. Always. You're never going to know all the facts. You just got to trust him by faith. And the people who trust him by faith just go, God uses them more mightily. But if you're one of those people, you got to know, have everything lined up, got to know everything, God said, I'll get to you later. You have to walk by faith. So I want you to check this video out, and then we're going to
close it out. Check this video out.
You've seen him on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
A talented young comedian.
Very funny man.
Michael Jr.
So much go on, people still need to laugh.
It's just important that it's funny, first and foremost, regardless of whatever else happens.
They look real hard. I mean, like, they've really been through some stuff. Some of these kids are away from their families. They haven't seen them. Their families don't want to have anything to do with them. I mean, it's probably been a long time since they've really been able to laugh.
I have to bring the same show that I would bring if I'm playing a theater.
I was 13 when I did it.
This is the lowest point of my life. But to me, I'm ready to move up, right? I'm tired of it, right? And I've only been in jail for 2 years.
If I could see the world through your eyes, I would pay forgiveness to my dear.
Everybody deserves an opportunity to laugh.
It is good to hear you guys all laugh together, as opposed to laughing at each other.
29, I'm homeless, I'm an addict, and I need to laugh.
Dad bought a house, and he put all five of us in it, and he never was home.
Some person hurt me inside, you know what I mean?
I'm going to do a comedy show for drug endangered children.
In Montrose?
So that's not funny.
Oh. I was at the drug endangered children's meeting at the Dolphin House. I didn't see too much fun in drug endangered children, but I changed my mind.
I came to Samaritan House in 06. They gave me no chance to start my life over again.
I see the generation, we are not forgotten.
I just said, you know what, let's take comedy on the road, let's travel, let's see what the people's reaction will be.
For him to come in and make us laugh like how he did, and for him to come talk to us, you know, that make us feel like more human.
He laughed so hard the building was leaning.
It was just a joy to laugh. Reaching a lot of guys, they reached me. Actually showed me that I can be sober and have fun.
So we all know somebody who has a mask on in some form or fashion. It may be some of you. You're living a life that you know God hasn't called you to live, or you want to walk more in integrity to who he created you to be. And there's people in your life that you want to help them take that mask off. You want to allow God to use your gift to minister to them, but you can't give a gift that you haven't received. If you haven't received it from the Lord, there's nothing to give. You can try all you want in your own power, but it ain't going to work. So we want to give you an opportunity to receive the gift of a relationship with Christ, the life-changing power of Jesus Christ, and then you can give it.
Okay, and then because I got seven different ways to look at stuff, this is how I kind of break down what Miles is talking about right now. It's kind of like this. It's almost as if, imagine if we're all houses. It's like everyone in this room is a house. Everyone outside the room as well. We're just talking about you guys. We're all a house. And Jesus is outside of the house. He's outside, and he wants to come in. But he'll never force his way in. You have to invite him in. And some of us, there's a lot of people in this room right now, and you're cool with just having Jesus outside the house. Because then you, every once in a while, you'll open up the door, and you'll talk to him. Then you'll close the door, and you'll go back inside. Some people don't even open a door. They just talk through the door. You can't even look at them. But then there's people in this room who used to have Jesus inside the whole house. And let me back up. One of the reasons you won't invite Jesus in is because your house is a mess. And he knew it was going to be a mess before you messed it up. And now you're trying to clean it up yourself. But you can't. He's the only one that can clean it. And he's standing outside the door right now wearing an apron with a bucket in his hand. But you have to invite him in. And then there's those people who are in the room right now who used to have Jesus in the entire house. But you've either completely evicted him or you just moved him to one room in the house. It's like the good room. You ever been in a house that has a good room? Got the nice furniture with the plastic on it. It's all pretty. Most of the time, it's the room right up front with the window. So people walk by and they be like, wow, that house is clean. But it's just that one room. Jesus doesn't have access to the entire house. The whole house isn't clean at all, but it needs to be clean, and you need to invite him in.
Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are patient with us. And you know everybody's house situation. You designed the house. You know the purpose of the house. You know how it's supposed to look. The type of furniture is supposed to be there. But we need to invite you in. We need to give you the keys to the house. We need to give you permission to redecorate, remodel, tear it down to the studs and build it back up. Some of you have Jesus walking around your house, but you won't let him sit down. You won't let him do the dishes, make your bed. He's just there, and you're doing everything in your own power. You got to give him control and let him take over the house. If you would like Christ to take over your house, your heart, your life, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. If you're in North County, we're talking to you right now. God wants control of your house. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I know you love me. And I know I need to surrender. I need to submit. I need to give you control. So, Lord Jesus, I open the door. Please come into my life. Take over every room of my house. Rearrange the furniture if you want. Change the paint color. Remodel whatever room you want. I surrender my life to you. Fill me in every inch of my heart with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And by standing, you are acknowledging that you are inviting Jesus into your house. If you're in North County, we're talking to you. Someone's going to pray with you there in a minute. We're going to ask you to stand right there as well. And if you're watching online, we're going to ask you to stand right where you are. So right now, if you just asked the Lord to come into your house and you're willing to surrender your life to him, right now, just stand to your feet and acknowledge your surrender to him. Acknowledge his presence in your life. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you.